The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello and welcome to the Arrowhead Pride podcast we call From the Podium, where you get to hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney. Day two of the NFL draft has come and gone, and the Chiefs finally have two new players on their roster, taking Missouri linebacker Nick Bolton at number 58, and then a couple picks later, at number 63, they took Oklahoma center Creed Humphrey. So we got to talk to those two players last night, as well as head coach Andy Reid after the picks, and general manager Brett Veach after round three was over. We'll start with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. We'll hear from the players, and then we'll hear from the general manager Brett Veach. This is From the Podium. Here's the head coach.
Hey, coach. We've got you. We're ready whenever you are.
Okay, great. All right, so listen, with the first pick, we took Nick Bolton, a local college player from University of Missouri. And what you're going to get with him is just a all-out, aggressive, smart football player. Not the biggest guy, but very, very tough, great tackler, great ball skills. And in the pass game part of it, and tremendous leadership. So we look forward to bringing him on board. And then Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, big kid that, again, is extremely smart. The thing you'll notice with him is he can snap with either hand, natural left-handed snapper, but he could do either one. It doesn't really matter. I mean, he's best probably with his left hand. That's his natural hand. But he's taught himself how to do it also right-handed. Great feet and work ethic, and then a big man. And so Creed will be a nice addition to that offensive line. My hat goes off to Brett Veach and his crew of scouts and really the whole personnel department there of just batting down and taking the best players at the spot once we got to this position, taking the best players that were there. It takes discipline to do that. And Brett did that. And I think we came out with two good football players. Obviously, time tells, but they sure were good college football players. We think it'll transfer right into here in Kansas City. Both good citizens, too. Good kids. And they'll be great in the locker room for us. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
Let's go first to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach, good evening. Always a pleasure to see you, as always.
Thanks, sir.
Hey, reference Nick Bolton, and I know you still have to go through OTAs and training camp, but based on what you've seen in his production at Mizzou, is he a kind of guy that you could probably project to immediately contribute, kind of like what you had in mind with Willie Gay last year?
Yeah, so he can play the Mike linebacker position, but he can also play the other positions there. So, yes, he can. We had a bit of an advantage that we have Andy Hill on staff, and Andy coached him so and knows him personally, which helps. But we felt that he could help us in any of the three positions. And you can't have enough of those guys. We're a little bit short just on bodies and at that spot, at our linebacker spot. So this helps us there.
Go next to Dave Scretta. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, good evening, Andy. You mentioned that, you know, you took the best players on your board, and that's always the case, I know. But these two guys also seem to fit two of your biggest needs. Would you say that's pretty accurate? And how delighted were you that that the board actually fell that way?
Yeah, well, we knew there was a good group of offensive linemen. And so you figured there would be an offensive lineman there potentially. You're hoping it was one that you liked. And then the linebacker spot was a bit thin. But again, the way it fell, this kid, I thought it was a no-brainer when we got to that spot. I mean, you put on the film and you watch him play, and which I'm sure most of you guys have, that you just see he jumps out at you. So that wasn't too tough of a choice there. But there are some other good players up there. I'm not saying that, but these were two of the guys that Brent had targeted before we even got into the day here. So he was hoping that they would be there.
Go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy. Humphrey is now the fifth offensive lineman you guys have added, and counting the two guys who are opting back in, you're basically at a total makeover here at your offensive line. And it was obvious you guys were going to make some changes there, but was this maybe more than you anticipated when the offseason began? And Brad, I'll have one quick follow-up also.
Well, no, listen, we hadn't done a whole lot to that area for a bit. And we've got good players coming back too. So we've got this great competition that'll take place. And Adam, that brings out the best in all of us. So, as a player, you sit there, and I've talked to the guys about this. I mean, Brett's going to go do his job, and he's going to try to keep the competition high. And let's not run from that. Let's attack it. And what it'll do is, if you handle it right, it brings out the best in you down the road. So embrace the competition and keep on working to make yourself even better and thus the team better. And that's what Brett's done with the offensive line. He's just added some great competition in there.
Yeah. Okay. And hey, we heard from Brett last night about Orlando Brown, but this is our first chance to talk to you since the trade. I'd like to hear in your words what you liked about him, how you think he fits.
Yeah, so Orlando, I mean, we know he's a big, big man. The part that you don't know is how much he loves football. And so he comes in and with a reputation here the last 4 years and during college of a kid that will be a leader in the locker room, leader amongst the offensive line, and also somebody that loves the game. And those are all important things to us. So does he have to get in here and work his tail off, and he'll have to learn a few new techniques and that again, all to make him better. And does he have room to continue to grow? Absolutely. Even though he's been a two-time Pro Bowler here the last couple of years, he's one of the great things about football. It's like being a farmer. There's always work to be done. He'll do that. He'll get in here and work his tail off and get better. But some of those intangible things I sure like. And then again, we've had a chance to play against him here a couple of different times, and he's a physical, physical guy. So we like that too.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for doing this. Hey, just wanted to ask you. What you learned about Nick and Creed in the pre-draft evaluations. Did you get a chance to talk with them on Zoom, and just what did you maybe learn about them that the tape doesn't show?
Yeah, so I sat in on the Zooms. I kind of kept back off on it so we could get accomplished what we wanted to get accomplished with it. So the coaches, the position coaches, did most of the talking. The coordinators and the head coach, we kind of sat back and chimed in only when needed there. But it was great to let these guys talk about football, talk about their life, where they're at, how they perceive going forward here as a professional. And I did listen to these two, and impressive. I've got a special place in my heart for Missouri. So I've had to kind of sneak in on that one and listen. And then Orlando told us to go get Creed, when he was here. He goes, there's a good one in Oklahoma you need to take a peek at. So we had already had our eye on him, but it was neat for Orlando to put it out there to us that way.
We'll go a few more. We'll start with Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy.
Hi, Sam.
How quickly do you feel like Creed can translate to the next level? And do you view him strictly as a center, or is he a guy that could maybe play some guard?
Yeah, he could do either. He's a good athlete, you know, so he could, you know, probably could play all three if we had to go that route. But we'll just see. We'll see how he does. I mean, it's a competition part of it. You know how Andy does it with playing the five best. And so he's going to give everybody an opportunity to show what they've got, and we'll figure it out. But that competition, I mean, I can't say that enough. You bring that competition in the pitcher, and it just makes everybody better. And thus, you know, in this case, the offensive line better.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Brad, I'll just have one quick thing after this, but Coach, we won't get Steve Spagnuolo for a while. I know if you're taking Nick with your top pick, he had to sign off on this. What was his take, and what makes him a Steve Spagnuolo type of linebacker?
Yeah, well, he makes plays, and he's smart. He makes all the calls, or made all the calls at Missouri, and we felt like he could do that here. Steve did, and you love his attitude. You love the whole story. I mean, you guys are going to get a great story with this and just with the kid and how he, you know, came up through the ranks here. So, it's a good, solid person and a heck of a football player.
And then just, I know you're not into comparing to previous seasons, but it seems like there'll be competition for at least three or four offensive line spots. How excited do you get about this in-house tape that you're going to get to watch, this training camp battle? It's going to be for really a lot of the offensive line positions.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know how I feel about it. I mean, you're as good as your offensive line and defensive line are. So, you know, it's obviously important spots. So I love the competition that we've created. Like I said, we've had good players here. So, but this even adds to the competition level, and it should just make us better.
We'll go last to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for the time as always.
You bet, Matt.
You know, you mentioned that Nick is a little bit undersized. Is that just an evolution of that position, you know, with the linebacker's role having to do more and more, especially with multiple receiver sets? And, I mean, is that something that when you're going up against a team that's got a linebacker who can move around like he does and has that ability, that you got to scheme around a little bit differently?
Well, you guys know I'm familiar with small linebackers. I had a great one from Kansas State play for me, so at Philadelphia. This is no different. He moves around well. He can cover in the pass game, the RPO game. He's got a good feel for that. And he still can shed and get off of the big guys, and that becomes important. So, you know, it's I'm expecting him to play as sweet as your shirt looks here.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Be safe. Thank you.
All right, that's head coach Andy Reid. Now we'll switch to the players. First, we'll hear from Missouri linebacker Nick Bolton. We'll take a quick break, and then you'll hear from Oklahoma center Creed Humphrey. But here is the now Chiefs linebacker, Nick Bolton.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Well, congratulations, man. We're going to get started here, and I'm going to go first for questions to Herbie Teope with the Kansas City Star. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Nick. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. I'm going to take you back to your pro day workout, because if you remember, I asked you the question that the Chiefs had talked to you, and then I asked you also, how was your reaction going to be if you heard your name called? So it's happened. Your name was called on TV. What was your reaction and knowing that you are going to stay close and play for the Chiefs?
Yeah, so it's exciting. Just being there, where my career kind of started taking off a little bit. Being in Missouri, being around that community, being around close to University of Missouri, that's kind of good in my heart. So being close to Missouri, playing for the Chiefs, was one of the dreams come true.
Let's go next to Harold Kuntz. Go ahead, Harold.
Nick, see you in the Zooms again like we do in Mizzou. Good to see you. Hey, well, I want to ask you, obviously, the story with your mother and your sister. What was just – give me your overall emotions – what happened when you finally heard your name called, and what the family was like and what that reaction was like for you?
Just a sigh of relief. That's kind of the biggest thing. All the hard work I put in to get this position, working day in and day out, chopping myself in position to get my name called, NFL draft. That's been a dream of mine since I was 4 or 5 years old. So living that out, being with my family, being close to them, was a special moment for all of us.
Let's go next to Miss Karen Kornacki. Go ahead, Karen.
Nick, welcome to Kansas City. Just wanted to ask you, did you have any idea that the Chiefs were going to be the team with Andy Hill here and, of course, Coach Reed's background with Missouri?
No, I had no clue. I didn't know until a couple minutes prior to the pick. I talked to all the coaches. I knew that they kind of liked me, being in Missouri, being kind of close. They could see me a lot. So I knew they kind of liked me a little bit, but I didn't know until the draft was called. They're going to pick me.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Nick. And Brett, I have a quick follow-up. But, you know, Willie Gay seemed to tip the pick a little bit, maybe talking about drafting you on Twitter, and it came true. How close are you to Willie, and what kind of conversations did you have leading up to the draft?
So I really didn't have any conversations with Willie. Interesting story. I was looking to go to college at Mississippi State. I was really was at. I went to a camp down there. He kind of showed me around. That's when I first met him. So we kind of have a little history. I talked to him a little bit at that camp. And so we kind of were in a little bit of communication and stuff like that. So that's kind of how I knew Willie.
And I'm curious, you know, looking at this Chiefs team, I mean, obviously it's a Super Bowl contender, but how is it that you, when you look at this defense, how is it that you feel like that you fit in and can be a contributor on day one, like Andy Reid says he thinks you can be?
Just being smart and instinctual. That's kind of how I play. So I just kind of feel like bringing that to an NFL team, put myself in a position to play. I've got the opportunity to. So just kind of being a intelligent player, being smart, playing fast, physical, tough. All the characteristics need to be a great NFL linebacker. I feel like I have those characteristics. And so I'm just ready to go out there, have a chance to compete.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Nick, congratulations. My two questions are just, what was your initial reaction when you got the phone call from the Chiefs? And then secondly, when you did meet with them before the draft, what did you want to convey to them that they may have not known, obviously just looking at you on the field?
So I looked at my phone. I kind of looked at it for half a second in awe, and then just picked it up, answered it, just talking to the coaches and stuff like that. Coach Hill was at Coach Missouri for a while, so I talked to him too, so we were kind of familiar with each other. But so I'm just excited to be here, be side of the program. What was your other question?
Thank you, Brad. I was just saying, when you met with the Chiefs in that Zoom-like setting, just what did you want to tell them about yourself that they may not have seen, obviously, of watching you play?
I feel like you see it on film. I'm just an ultimate competitor. I want to compete. I want to get myself in a position to make plays for a football team. I've had the ability to. So it's because being a competitor, being also a competitor, want to win. I want to be part of a legacy and meet my mark in the NFL. So I feel like I kind of conveyed that message to them.
We'll take three more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Nick, congratulations. Did you deal with an injury? And just, I was just wondering very quickly, just how you're feeling health wise with the leg coming into the the pro level. And then Andy had talked about your ability to make the calls. How comfortable do you feel coming in that you'll be able to do that also at the pro level?
Right now I'm 100% healthy. And in terms of making the calls, I feel like I did that well at University of Missouri. I did them in the last two seasons there. So I feel like confident I can be able to relay what the coach wants to do, echo the calls out, and still be able to do my job. So I just kind of feel real confident in myself. I'd be able to call plays. I have the opportunity to do so.
Go next to Allie Trost. Go ahead, Allie.
Hey, Nick, congratulations. I'm curious, what have your conversations been like with your new coach, Eli Drinkwitz, or your new coach last year at Missouri?
We've just been excited. I talked to him real quickly. I got to give him a call when I get off it so we can talk a little more in depth with my linebacker coach on there as well. But everybody's excited. Coach Drinkwitz was a hell of a coach for me. For 1 year, I had him there. So just one of those guys that's going to come in every single day and give his best. I kind of want you to do the same thing. And so I have the ultimate respect for Coach Drink, and I'm excited.
We'll go last to Darren Smith. Go ahead, Darren.
Hey, first of all, welcome to Kansas City when you get here. But what message would you have for your teammates, who see you making it to the next level that you would want to convey to them so they can possibly follow in your footsteps next year and the seasons after?
I just come in every single day, giving your all. just everything, every single day. The days add up. So just go ahead and give everything you have every single day, preparing the right way, putting yourself in a position to make plays. For football team kind of helps you set you up. So all those young guys up there, I've always had been transparent with those guys, been truthful with them and telling them what the NFL kind of expects out of players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So just come in every single day, giving it your all, so you set yourself up for success.
Nick, we appreciate the time. Congrats, man. Excited to have you here in Kansas City, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Creed, can you hear and see us okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
We got you loud and clear, man. Yeah, we'll get started here. We'll start first with our TV partner, Mick Schaefer with KSHB. Go ahead, Mick.
Great. Congratulations. Welcome to Kansas City. Just wondering your overall thoughts on being selected by the Chiefs. And I think you overlapped with Orlando Brown 1 year down there in Norman. Your thoughts of pairing up with him again?
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, I'm really close with Orlando. He's, you know, helped me a lot. He's mentored me a lot at my time at OU. So, you know, just being able to be on a team with him, I'm really excited about, and then be able to join such a great organization. You know, I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Creed. What were your conversations like with the Chiefs before the draft, you know, over the past month or so? I mean, could you get a feel that they had this interest in you?
Yeah, you know, it was good. You know, I had a lot of conversations with a lot of teams, and, you know, I felt it went really well when I talked to them. So, you know, I knew what kind of organization I could get into if I came here. So I was, you know, as soon as I got that call, I was just so excited. And I'm ready to get to work.
Let's go next to Harold Kuntz. Go ahead, Harold.
Well, I said, welcome back with Oklahoma, with Orlando, and now I'm back in it again. Shawnee, Oklahoma, man, shout out. Hey, when you were playing at Shawnee, I always remember your coach talking about you as dirty tough and doing all the little things. Just, how are you going to adapt to the NFL with the same philosophy, that country strong toughness you bring to the table all the time?
Yeah, you know, it's something I've always played with, and it's something that, you know, I think it's helped me win a lot of matchups. So, you know, I'm definitely, you know, excited to, you know, come in and, you know, just start competing and start helping this team get better. You know, I can't wait.
Let's go next to Blair Kirkhoff. Go ahead, Blair.
Creed, I'm just wondering how nerve-wracking tonight was, and what when did you start hearing that you might be drafted?
Yeah, you know, it was definitely nerve-wracking. As far as when I was going to be heard that I was going to get drafted, you know, we knew it would be somewhere in the second round. That's what we were thinking. So when I got the call, you know, it was a huge sigh of relief. And then, you know, I got the call from, you know, the best organization in the country. So, you know, I was just so excited, so relieved. And now I'm just so ready to get to work.
Back to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Creed, congratulations. You had an opportunity to work with now two starters in the NFL, and Kyler and Jalen. How do you think that those experiences will benefit you now as you transition to hopefully being under center with Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, you know, I've gotten to
I've had the chance to play with some good quarterbacks at OU, and you know, it's a big help for me. You know, just their leadership skills, everything like that. You know, it's helped me a lot throughout my career, and getting to play with a player like Patrick Mahomes, you know, is so exciting just because he's so talented. You know, he's such a good player. He can, you know, change the dynamic of a whole game. So I can't wait to, you know, get up there and start working with the team.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Creed, congratulations tonight. You mentioned Orlando earlier. Just what do you think you learned most from him that's gotten you to this point, given your guys' relationship?
Yeah, you know, just the mentality that he has every day that he carries on himself. You know, he's a guy that's going to go in there. He's going to do the work that's necessary to get him to the next level he wants to be at. And that's something that when I got to OU, that's something I admired right away from him when I met him. Seeing him go in, you know, work as hard as he can every single day, work hard in the weight room during training, you know, during position drills whenever we were doing stuff on our own. And just seeing him do that and just the mentality that he has, and, you know, he's such a mean player on the field too. That's something I've always, you know, admired about him, and something I've always tried to, you know, kind of copy my game after.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Creed, congratulations. Welcome to KC. You know, the Chiefs have been overhauling their offensive line this entire offseason, and Andy Reid even mentioned earlier about the fact that there are going to be positions, including center, that are going to be open competitions. What is it about where you are right now that you feel like will help you winning and trying to win that center job right out of the gate?
Yeah, you know, for me, the type of player I am, you know, wherever I'm going to be playing, I'm just going to go in there and compete, and I'm going to push myself to get to the next level that I can and make myself better. And I'm also going to push guys around me to get better. So really that's all it is for me, is just, you know, getting the team better in every way possible. You know, whether it's me, whether it's another person, you know, there's going to be me in there trying to push everybody, trying to get everybody to the next level they want to get to.
Go ahead, Allie.
All right, Creed, you've said a lot about Orlando Brown. He's got the lucky foxtail. Do you have a lucky charm that you were holding on to tonight, or anything that you're going to bring before game day in Kansas City?
Yeah, so I have this gold necklace that I got. When my grandmother passed away, my grandpa had some of her jewelry melted down and made into a pendant for me. So I wear that before every game, and that's something that I'm going to carry with me. You know, it just means so much to me. I love my grandma so much, and she was the biggest fan I've ever had. So, you know, it's something that I'm gonna carry with me throughout my life.
Creed, congrats again, man. We appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we get to see you soon.
Thank you so much.
That's new Chiefs center Creed Humphrey. And now finally, from night two, here is general manager Brett Veach.
All right, we'll get started. After a long day yesterday, we're excited to come back today and welcome two new members to the Chiefs kingdom. Obviously, at pick 58, linebacker from Missouri, Nick Bolton, and 63, center from Oklahoma, Creed Humphrey, two outstanding prospects. We're, again, extremely excited to welcome both these guys to the kingdom. And with that, I'll take your questions.
Go first to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Brett, just in general, how do you feel that the draft is went? I know you've been a little bit more aggressive in the past. You guys kind of stayed put, and then the outlook sort of going in tomorrow. Just how do you feel the whole thing is going?
Yeah, no, it's going good. And again, I know it's been talked about the last few days. We felt like there was a lot of depth there in two and three. And believe it or not, we were open to fielding some trade down calls. But we had some dialogue with some teams, and we felt like there were a number of players there that we liked. And again, there was a lot of flexibility. But, you know, that really never materialized. And we sat on the board. And again, at 58, Nick Bolton was staring us in the face, and we were extremely excited about him. And then at 63, surprised that Creed was still on the board, obviously, but too good of a player to pass up. So as I mentioned to him when I called him, it's exciting to add Oklahoma tackle and then bring in an Oklahoma center. So again, we're excited. That's going to be an extremely competitive offensive line room, and there's going to be a lot of depth there. So as we talked about multiple times, 17 game season now, long preseason, and hopefully an extended playoff appearance for us. We're going to need all the help we can get, and we have a lot of talent there now.
Next to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Brett. You mentioned the hot zone, you know, with the second and third round. Now you're out of the hot zone. What are you looking to do as you enter and you prepare for day three as far as position groups? So what specifically are you looking for now?
I think we'll just stay to our true to our board. I don't know if we're just, you know, looking specifically at a position. We're looking for value. You know, it's funny, once you get past the first 80, 90 picks, the difference in scouting and the difference of opinions, it really shows through. I mean, it's pretty consistent for the first 60, 70, 75 picks. And then boom, like once you hit to 90, you'll have guys that teams had in 4, 5, 6 going in that 9,500 zone. And so the board falls almost exactly the way you think the first two and a half rounds. And then once you get into that third round, it goes all over the place. So this is where, you know, we really feel like we make a lot of ground and, you know, we spend a ton of time on these late round picks and, you know, we're excited about these unique opportunities for us. Cause it really gets to show the depth of our scouting staff and, our guys are up there, right now and we're putting the board together and we think that there's their value hidden in these next few picks for us. We have a fourth and 2 5s and a 6. So, we're certainly looking forward to the challenge and, you know, to answer your question, Herbie, I don't know if we're like saying we want this position or that position. I think we're going to let the board play out and we'll take the best player, guys that we think can come in here and, you know, make our roster and compete and play.
Go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Brett, I was wondering if you could go over the two guys you picked tonight and just what you liked about them and how you see them fitting in. And Brad, I'll have one more question also.
Well, we certainly had a lot of opportunities to watch Nick Bolton play, being local and just a great player. And, you know, he's both these guys, I think, you know, we not only got better on the offense and defensive side, but both these guys, you talk about their intelligence, their durability and, you know, their leadership skills. I mean, these are two high character players and people are going to be great in the community. They're going to be great in the locker room. They're going to come in, they're going to learn the playbook quickly. They're going to get up to speed. A lot of this, especially, you know, last year with having OTAs and this year, hopefully, you know, we get into these OTAs, but I'm sure it'll be a little bit different than in years past. You know, you got to get into the playbook and you got to get caught up to speed quick. But both these guys, Adam, I mean, they're extremely intelligent. Both captains, leaders, guys that played a ton of football at their respective universities. So I think both these guys, you talk about Nick Bolton, I mean, he's a guy that can come in here and play and both at the mic position and the will position. He's got sideline to sideline range. Again, tough, smart, can make all the calls, has made all the calls. You know, you look at Anthony Hitchens and he's, you know, he's one of the guys that does a lot for us, but you know, when Hitch goes down, you know, we're really looking to add depth there. And then, again, his versatility to play either Mike or Will and Creed's another guy that's played a lot of football. I mentioned earlier, we had some flexibility there with Austin and with Joe Tooney. Now with Creed coming in here, needless to say, now you feel good about leaving Tooney where he's most comfortable. And that's at that guard position. And Creed now gives you a bigger center option. And we've been talking about that again. It'll be a great competition and they're going to have to come in here and compete and may the best man win. Austin's shown that he can come in and play and he's done that, over his career and shown he can do that at a high level. Creed offers, you know, a bigger body and, you know, it kind of that pocket and the way that those larger linemen can affect the pocket is certainly different with Creed blocking in there. So again, it'll be great competition and we have some flexibility now. And we have more, most importantly, a lot of depth.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, certainly seemed like at the end of last season, you were going to make some changes on the offensive line, but, is this more than you anticipated with all these new guys, four veterans, Creed now, you got two guys opting back in. Is this more than you maybe anticipated when you got this project started?
Well, I think the end result may have been more than we anticipated. But again, that's, you know, when free agency starts, you know, those few names go off the board quick. But, you know, we know that there's different phases to add players and whether that be a trade, day one free agency, a week or two into free agency, there's value at all these levels. So there'll be values the first day of free agency, a week or two into free agency, potential trade early on in the draft. And then tomorrow and into the weekend, day three in the draft and undrafted free agency. So we just knew that if we were patient and if we didn't press and, you know, we just stayed disciplined. And I think, you know, we saw that. We, again, this goes back to the earlier press conference. We went out and we signed Joe Tooney. It was a no-brainer for us. We took a swing at a tackle. We didn't get it. We remained patient. And then we were able to you know, bring Orlando in here. You know, we signed Austin Blythe, and I think anytime you go into free agency, you make these moves to allow flexibility, and it allows you to stay true to your board. And then a talent like Creed Humphrey becomes available, and then you bring him in here too. So you have to look at it in multiple ways, because you know Austin comes in here and again he's shown he can play, but he is on a 1-year deal, right? And we need to maintain continuity on that offensive line, and hopefully in the future we can get Orlando done. And then you have Creed now under contract for 4 years and Tooney under contract for 4 or 5 years. So now you have continuity, depth, and talent. And that's, you know, a tribute to our coaching staff and our scouting staff of just maintaining discipline and being patient throughout this whole process.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, bro.
Hey, Nate, how you doing?
Good, man. Doing good. Good. Just, I think, you know, before the draft started, you talked about just how difficult it was to sort of get medical information, just knowing how guys were going to come into this league. You mentioned the durability and the consistency of Nick Bolton and Creed. I just wonder how much of that was a factor staying where you were versus trading down and obviously looking at the overall prospects, given just how wide of a range the medical background was for each guy.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. You know, we were worried about some of those guys that were combine invites that didn't make the combine, and/or guys that weren't combine invites. And we had separate dialogue with Rick. When we entered this process, we felt comfortable with the guys. Now, I think there were some teams that if they didn't get a hard medical grade, that they just weren't comfortable taking those guys on the board. Now, there were a few guys that a combination of not having the hard medical and our docs that we trust just weren't all the way convinced on certain things and needed actual updated MRIs and didn't get those. And I don't think we had a lot of those guys on our board. Fortunately for us, when it came down to our picks, both these guys, you know, we had solid medical grades on, but I think that's a fair question. And I think that there were teams and I think there's a few guys that maybe fell a little bit more in the draft. And there was some of the dialogue in our rooms thinking that, you know, it's obvious these guys don't have hard medicals, and that could have been a factor. Again, it didn't come into play with our picks, fortunately. We did have a small number of guys that we weren't comfortable with, but you know, in general, I thought, you know, we addressed that pretty well.
Yeah, two more. We'll go Sam and then Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, Sam.
Given what you guys have done the past 3 years, I mean, as a team, how do you balance, especially with the early picks, guys that can help you now versus, you know, realizing that these are guys, they're going to be here for 4 years?
Well, I think, you know, you do your best you can in that regard. I really think, though, we just are going to just take the best player, and knowing that, you know, there are long seasons and you have to have depth at all these positions. And within a week or two, you can have a wave of injuries at one position group that can set you back. And there's certainly some thought. I mean, we always look at the board and we always look at how we'll line up this season and what we'll look like in the next two seasons. So it does come into play, but I think if you start focusing on other things other than the true value of the players, I think that's when you miss out on really good players. And you know, we certainly had talk and dialogue about, you know, where our roster will be in a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. But again, I think it comes into play when there's similar values. When there's big discrepancies, just stick to the board and always take the best player available.
We'll go last to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Brett. Hope you're able to get some rest this weekend at some point.
Yeah, for sure. We got one more day tomorrow, so it'll be a lot of fun, and then we can relax, go watch the Derby, right?
There you go. Hey, you talked about last night about, you know, you try to look into the future a little bit, and with the numbers, have a little bit of confidence about who might be there. Coming into today, you know, what was your likelihood in your mind that Nick Bolton was going to be that guy for you at 58? And then with Humphrey, how surprised were you that, you know, the consensus best center in the league was still there?
Well, I think there's always a few surprises every year that, you know, guys, there's always a handful of guys that slip. And again, it's one thing to look at where guys are valued. And there could be teams that are high on these players, but for some reason they go in a different direction. And then you'll have a gap of maybe teams that didn't have that specific need. So even though he was valued high, it just, you know, the need and the fit just, it didn't align. So that's what you see a lot, I think, with some of these guys that are perceived to be guys that have fallen. I mean, maybe teams just didn't see him the way other people saw him. But I think a lot of the times it's a situation where, I mean, Creed could have easily went maybe pick 48 or 50. Maybe he was on a team's discussion board at 48 or 49. They didn't go in that direction. They went somewhere else. And then the next wave of teams didn't really need a center to have that specific need. So then he falls. And you know, we're certainly a benefactor of that tonight. So a lot of it's just timing and circumstance and the way the board plays out. But you know, we went into the this day too, and we had a pocket full of players, and it was kind of right down to the end there. And certainly Bolton and Creed were both in those pockets. I think we had a few more names on there, but clearly those were the two best names on the board. And again, we're happy the way the board unfolded, and we're happy to add both of these players to our roster.
Brett, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Thanks, you guys.